All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at a pretty popular verse, well-known verse here that I'm going to get my text from. We're going to read about half this chapter, but I'm going to get my text from one particular verse here. And I'm going to read you a verse over in Colossians chapter 4. But we're going to read here in Ephesians 5. And verse number 1, Ephesians 5, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5, he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." And so I want to, I guess, take my text from that phrase, redeeming the time. He used that there in verse number 16 of Ephesians 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I want to preach for just a few minutes on redeeming the time, but more specifically, I want to preach on redeeming this time that the Lord has given us. Because I believe that the Lord has given us special days in these days we're living in, particular days, a particular time. And one might look at what's going on in the world and say, man, these are pretty terrible times. I mean, we've got a lot going on in the world, and it seems like there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of strange things going on. And I would agree. I'd say you are exactly right. There are strange things going on in these days, and it is a strange time. It can be a concerning time. It's certainly a fearful time for those that are lost without God. And so they're strange days. But the silver lining in it all, or what I see God's hand in, is particular times, a particular opportunity and opportunities that He's given to His people in these days. Because when you look at the world and look at what's going on, it seems as though the world has come to a screeching halt in a lot of ways. It seems like our country has come to a screeching halt. All these governors and mayors are shutting down cities and towns and whole states, and just shutting everything down except for what's, you know, deemed essential and all those things. And so life has seemed to take him somewhat of a slower turn these past several weeks. And we were talking about that at church this morning, about how life just seems to be slower. And it's kind of a slower pace. And I'll be honest with you, it's kind of nice to see parents playing with their kids out in the yard and riding their bikes and walking up and down the street and seeing them with seeing families out at the park and things like that, because there's just not as much going on. There's not as much for people to go and to do, and people aren't as busy and as rushed as they've seemed to have been for so long. And so it seems like life has taken kind of just a slower turn. And I believe with all my heart that God has given us these days. Now, I don't take away from the fact that this virus is taking people's lives and that folks are getting sick and all that. I don't take away from that at all. I know that's a terrible thing for anyone to lose their life, for anyone to get sick, and there's those that we are praying for that are sick. But I do also believe that for many of us, God has given us particular opportunities to work in our lives and to use us in certain ways in these days that we will not have any other time. And so I want to preach to you for just a few moments, not just on redeeming the time. This is always an applicable message. It can be applied to any time. But I want to preach to you for just a few moments, particularly on redeeming this time. Redeeming this time. What can I do for God? How can I redeem? How can I take advantage of this time? Not just every other time, but this particular time, these particular days. Because the fact is, just like life will soon be over, just like the world will soon come to an end, these particular days that we are living in likely will come to an end. They'll get by us, and you will be able to look back on these days, and you'll either be able to look and say, boy, God really worked in my life in those days. Buddy, there was a lot of chaos in the world. There was a lot going on, and people were losing their minds and scared to death. But in my life, buddy, that was a time of growth, and God really used those days, and God helped me, and God matured me, and God blessed me. And I thank God for those days, for that time in my life. Or you could look back on this time and you can see just nothing but just wasted time. You'll look back and you'll see the same thing that the rest of the world sees. You'll see a day, days in our country and days in the world where it just seemed like everything was on hold, life was on hold, and we were just kind of waiting for it to get over with. But let me help you with something. The world as a whole, in our country and our society, may have all come to a screeching halt, and it seems like we're just waiting on the next step. People are waiting on the next step. But can I help you that that God Almighty has not come to a screeching halt, and His Word has not come to a screeching halt, and the working of the Holy Spirit has not come to a screeching halt, and the power of God hasn't come to a screeching halt. Hey, God is still alive and well. He's still on the throne, and He's still working, and He's still moving, and He's still saving souls, and He still expects you and me to be about His business in these days, in this particular time. Amen? And so I want to preach to you for a few moments on redeeming this time. Time is the most precious gift that we have. Whenever we were born, it's like there was a clock that started running backwards. And the thing is, we don't know where zero is at. Time is ticking away for all of us. And somewhere out there, it's going to get to zero. It might be soon. It might be on down the road. But none of us know when time will run out for all of us. But just know that time is certainly ticking away. And a lot of folks talk about midlife. You know, folks have midlife crisis and things like that. Go out and buy a crazy sports car. Go out and buy a motorcycle or something like that. And they're midlife, having their midlife crisis. And I guess for most people, they say midlife is like in the, you know, the 40s or 50s or whatever that is. They talk about that being midlife. But the truth is, really none of us know when midlife is for us. I'm reminded of a young man my senior year of high school who went to bed one night and never woke up the next morning. He went to bed that night, a senior in high school, waiting for graduation with plans and aspirations and dreams, and no doubt everybody around him telling him he's got his whole life ahead of him. Enjoy these days. That's what they tell him in high school, you know. That's what they tell you whenever you're a senior or whenever you're in college. Boy, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Enjoy these days. These are the best days of your life. Nothing could be a bigger lie. Those are not the best days of your life. The best days of your life are still to come whenever you're in high school. You're going to get married, Lord willing. son, you'll have children, you can go on serving the Lord. Those are the best days of your life whenever you're serving the Lord with your family. But when you're there, it seems like the devil's got everybody lying to you, telling you that they're the best days of your life. You need to enjoy these days and plan out your future and look to the future and all these things. And no doubt that young man in my class, he was hearing that and had all those dreams and had all those plans and had all those desires in his life. And yet he went to bed one night and never woke up the next morning. He'd probably been 17 or 18 years old, however old you are, whenever you're a senior in high school. And whenever you think about that, if he was 18 years old when he died, 9 years old was his midlife. Midlife whenever he was 9 years old. Most of the world would look at a life like that and say, boy, didn't even get started good. I mean, didn't even get a good start and before that life was taken away. And you say, Brother Jacob, what are you trying to say? What are you telling us? I'm telling you that the truth is none of us know when our end will be. None of us know when our midlife is or the end of our life, where the clock is ticking away and time is ticking away and time's a precious gift. And what we have, the only time that we really know that we have is right now. We can't go back and change yesterday. We can't go back years ago and change something that we did or said. We can't change the past, and we certainly don't know what the future holds. Don't even know if we have a future. But we do know that we've got right now. We've got right now. And so we can redeem this time. Amen? Time is divided into blocks of life. You know, you're born, you have your childhood. And you look at the childhood years, and they kind of, you look at the teen years, and then you come into young adulthood and young married life where you're newlyweds, you know, and then you have children. You've got that time of life whenever you've got children. That even that's kind of broken up into times. You remember back and think of people that's got grown children, look back to when their children were small, and that was kind of a block of time when they were married and had children. Their children were small, and then you go into that time of life where your children are grown and they move up. Then you go into that period of life where you have grandchildren, you know, if you make it into those days. And certainly those are tremendous years. But all those blocks of time that we have, but again, we're not promised any of them. The only time we're 100% sure of is the time we're in right now. You know, most people talk about time and how quickly time gets away from us. My pastor is very famous. Oh, I won't say famous. He's very known, I guess, to me anyways, for this saying that he always says. He always says, you know what they say, life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And that is true. I mean, it seems like the older you get, the more time gets by. It seems like the quicker time does get by. I mean, it's like the older you get. I know whenever I was little, you know, when you're small and you start going to school, you know, all you ever know is school. And, you know, you grow, and there's always older kids in you. There's always the older kids. Right up until you're a junior in high school, there's always the seniors, you know. And there's always the older kids. But then you become a senior, and then you are the older kid. You know, you're the oldest ones. But then you finally graduate. It seems like school, getting out of school will never come. That's all you ever know. Your whole life is school. And then finally, school comes to an end. You graduate, and if you're like me, for me, buddy, that seems like that's when life just took off. Didn't seem like I'd ever get to graduation, but once I graduated, buddy, life took off, and it's gotten quicker with every new phase that's come. I mean, you graduate, and then you start getting a job, and you get responsibilities, and you get married, and then you have children. I mean, it's just like every new thing that comes in life, the faster and faster and faster it goes. And people talk about how fast life gets by. And people will wake up, and they'll say, man, I can't believe I'm as old as I am. And I can't believe, you know, all these things have happened. I just can't believe how fast time has gotten away. But, you know, the Bible deals with that. The Bible talks about that in James chapter 4, verse 14. He said, where is ye know not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Talking about how short life really is, especially in the grand scheme, especially in eternity. You know, you think about these headstones. You see headstones in graveyards, cemeteries, and there will be a year that person was born. There will be a year, a number, and then there will be a number for the year that person passed away. And their life, all of their life, is condensed down to just that little dash between those two numbers. All of their life. All those memories. One man said all their life, all their love, all their labor, all their legacy, everything is condensed down to that little dash. Well, I tell you, time is so important. And the point is that right now, we have time. Right now, we do. We don't know about tomorrow. We can't change last week. We can't change the past. But we have right now. And I'll say this, that God has even given us a special time in these days. Yeah, I know the world would look at it and say, boy, things are bad. Things are terrible. But I believe for the child of God, these are special days that God has really blessed us with in these days. But you've got right now. Don't waste this time. Now in this chapter here, we just read the first 18 verses and what the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing in these verses concerning their walk. And this is a living book, so it's as applicable to us that, you know, it would deal with our walk as well. And we can see all the different kinds of walk he talks about. Verse 1 and 2, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so he says, walk as dear children. I think about my children, my two little boys, and they're both really now, especially Gideon, are at the age where they follow you around everywhere you go. I mean, you're in the house, and they just about all the time, they're following you. I mean, if Hannah's in there in the kitchen cooking, they're at her feet. And if I'm there, they're following me around. And Gideon has got to the place where he started talking a little bit, and he wants to know, what are you doing? And he constantly wants to know, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And you tell him what you're doing. And then 5 seconds later, what are you doing? And he always wants to know. And he's gotten to where he copies everything he does, everything you do. Not only does he follow you everywhere and ask you what you're doing, he then wants to do that too. And then also something to do, like he'll ask you what you're doing, you tell him what you're doing, and then he'll repeat that back to you in the form of a question, like clarifying, like that's what you're doing. What are you doing? Well, I'm putting my shoes on, buddy. Putting your shoes on? Yeah, I'm putting my shoes on. And so, you know, a lot of times, next thing you know, he's wanting to put his shoes on. I mean, it's just like everything you do. He's wanting to do the same thing, walking as children. Children like to copy you, man. Our children, parents, they copy us. They look at our life. They see what we're doing. And a lot of times they want to copy that, emulate that. And I think that's what the Lord's talking about here. Emulate what He does. Copy what He does. In other words, it's a copycat walk that He's talking about. A childlike walk. Verse 8, we see another walk. He says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, I thought about light, and what light does is you shine light on a subject, shine light on something, it makes it clearer, right? You shine light. We were darkness, but now we're light. We shine light. We make things more clear. And so he wants us to have a clear walk. I wonder, can the world, can everybody clearly see your love for the Lord by your walk? Everybody you work with, everybody you go to school with, everybody you're around, everybody you come in contact with, can they clearly see your love for the Lord by your walk? By your walk, a clear walk. Verse 15, look at what he says. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So it's a circumspect walk, or a careful. That's what circumspect means. It means to be careful. Walk very carefully. Walk very circumspectly. There's a lot of things, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of things that are out there that the devil has to derail the Christian, to get them off base, to get us messed up. And God says, walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Walk carefully, buddy. We've come to the day that there's so many sins and so much immorality out there. I've said many times that just the accusation of a lot of things can ruin a good Christian. Can ruin them, especially a preacher. They can ruin just the accusation, buddy. It don't have to be true, but there will be people, if the accusation is made, even whenever they clear you, even whenever they say you are innocent, even whenever they say that it didn't really happen, but just the accusation is made, and there will be people that will go to their grave believing that you did what they said that you did. Whether you did or not, just the accusation. That's why we got to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise in these days, redeeming the time. And I'd say in these days, it's as important, if not more so, that we walk circumspectly, walk careful in these times. And we need to be redeeming these times. He said, but well, with all these things going on, how in the world can we redeem these times? How can the Lord redeem these times? Well, let me just give you a few things right out of this chapter. The things that you ought to focus on in these days, these particular days that we are living in, things that you ought to focus on while you've got this time. Number one is in verse number 17. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You'd be wise to seek God's will in this time. You have got a special time. The restaurants are closed. A lot of folks are off work. Children are out of school, and our young people need to be listening to this. You're out of school. The busyness of school, the busyness that goes into all that stuff. And some folks are working from home, and some folks aren't even working, things like that. And so we've got a particular time. There's nowhere to go, nothing to do, and you could waste these days, or you could take the opportunity, take advantage of the slow down that we've got in our life to let the Lord work in your heart and to diligently seek God's will for your life. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You'd be a fool to not seek God's will in these days. Verse 15, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You'd be so unwise to not seek God's will with the time that He has blessed you with in these days. These days will be gone, Lord willing. Lord willing, this virus will settle down and hopefully the economy will get back rolling again. I hope so. It may not, but I hope it does. But if it does, regardless, these days are going to move on. We're going to get past these days. We'll get back to the busyness of life. Different trials and things will come. But you've got these days now, and you ought to seek God's will for your life. You've got more time to do the things that you've always said you would do right now than you've ever had in your life, probably, or ever may ever have again. You say, well, I've always wanted to read my Bible through. Well, you've got the time to now. I've always wanted to make prayer a very important part of my life and spend a lot of time praying. You've probably got more time to right now. I tell you, you've got time. You've got available. God has blessed us, and His Spirit's at work, and His Spirit can work in you and more in these days, revealing His will, helping you to understand His will more in this time than any other time, I believe. You can get in His Word, get on your knees, and find His will. And by the way, He's not hiding His will from you. He's not got to hit out in a corner where He's making it hard to find. You just need to get in His Word and get on your knees and spend some time praying, spend some time seeking God, and you'll find His will. You'll find His will. Seek God's will in this time. Number two, serve in God's work in this time. Again, with all the things that are going on, life has slowed down. I tell you, it's a prime opportunity to do something for the glory of God. It's a prime opportunity to seek God's will, and then to seek God's will concerning serving. Concerning servitude. Lord, what do you want out of me? Not Lord, why me, but Lord, why not me? Lord, what can I do? Lord, what can you use me to do? Let me help you with this. Lord, what needs to be done at the church? Lord, what are some things that I could do? What are some things that I could do to improve the buildings? What's some cleaning I could do? What are things that I could do to improve your work, to improve the church, to improve your kingdom? Lord, what can I do to help lead somebody to the Lord? Lord, what can I do? Serve in God's work. You know what I don't want to be said about me? Whenever I get to the judgment or I get down the road of my life, I don't want God to look at me and say, Jacob, you know, I've been so good to you, and I have blessed you, and I have poured into you, and I've given you opportunities, and I've done so much for you. Boy, you really ought to be doing something. With all that I've done for you, you really ought to be doing something. Amen? Boy, God, He's been good to us. Boy, we would be a disgrace to not doing something for Him. We'd be a disgrace. I tell you, there is a saved person, as a Christian, someone who's been saved by the grace of God, in these days particularly, there will be no greater joy in your life than serving God. I tell you, it'd be a great day whenever you realize that you don't deserve salvation, you don't deserve to be saved, and realize what an honor it is that the Lord would save you. But not only that, but what an honor it is that God would allow you to serve Him. See, He looks at your life and looks at mine, and when we had nothing to offer God, He saved us anyways, and then He's going to turn around and use us to serve Him in order that He might save somebody else. And what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing it is that the Lord would use us to serve Him in His work. And I'm telling you that in these days, in this time, when life has slowed down and all the restaurants are closed and there's not entertainment and God has slain all the idols of America, I tell you, there's no sports going on. The economy's in shambles, and it seems like everything that people have idolized for so long, all the entertainment, all the sports, all the education, it's all shut down and none of it's going on, and so it's not even in our mind anymore. And God can use these days in a mighty way in the life of a child of God. Amen. Use these days to serve God. To serve God work. I wonder, you know, I think about this. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life, you look back down the years of your life, like the time that you've been saved, and I wonder, has there ever been a time that you used to? You say, well, I used to do this. I used to that. I used to serve more. I used to be involved in this. I used to be involved in that. I tell you one thing I don't want to be in terms of the Lord's work. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a has-been. As we're getting closer to the end of this thing, as the imminent return of Christ, it seems like it's right around the corner, and He could come back and rapture us out of here before I'm even done with this message. With so little time that we have left, I don't want to slow down. I don't want to back up. I want to put the pedal to the metal. I want to put my hand to the plow and my eyes on the goal and keep on moving forward and lean in a little harder and push a little harder and go a little harder, because He's coming back for us. And as soon as He comes back, we're going to stand before Him and give an account. And that's all that's going to matter then, is what we did for the Lord while we were here. He said, boy, how can I redeem these times? How can I buy back this time? How can I use this time for His glory? How can I use it? How can the Lord use it in my life? Well, you can seek His will. Then you can serve His work. And then another thing I see here in this chapter, I just got three quick little points here, but another thing I see, you'll see in verse number 3, look, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. See, there's things that are becoming to saints and things that are unbecoming to saints. Verse 4, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. Well, that's even just talking about foolish things and goofing off too much. He says, those things which are not convenient. Those things are not convenient sometimes. He says, but rather giving of thanks. But this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, what things? Well, all that sin he was just talking about. He said, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now look at verse 11. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So you say, boy, how can I redeem these times, these days? Well, you can seek His will and you can serve His work, but you can separate from the world. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Separate from the world. I tell you, the Lord has slowed everything down for us. You young people, you're not in school, surrounded. You know, those of you that are in public school, you're not surrounded and immersed in humanism and communism and wicked friends and all the sin and immorality that you've been immersed in from day to day, week to week, for all these years you've been in school. You're not having that done to you right now. I tell you, it's a prime time for you to use these days to draw near to God and separate from the world. Parents, some of you are working from home. Some of you are off work. I mean, you know, life has just slowed down. It's a prime time for you to take these days and separate from the world and draw near to God and draw away from the old world and the sin out there and get clean and get cleansed of those things. It's a prime time to do it in these days. This time that we've got right now, we don't know what's coming tomorrow, but we've got right now, and it's a good time to separate from the world. You hear a lot of times young people, teenagers especially, talking about their friends. My friends, my friends, my friend called. I was with this friend or that friend. You know, I wonder about that sometimes. I wonder about who it is that we call our friends. See, I know a lot of young people who talk about their friends, this friend or that friend, kids they go to school with and things like that. And they don't think anything about it, you know, just talk about, you know, my friend this, my friend that. But you ought to really think about who it is you call friend. You ought to think about it. I mean, matter of fact, wonder where those people that you call friends, you know, whenever you see their life and see what they're doing, you ever considered the fact that you call them a friend? I wonder tonight, as I'm here preaching the Word of God, you're listening to the Word of God, I wonder where those friends are. Are they in a good church? Are they worshiping God? Are they serving the Lord? I wonder what they're doing tonight. Well, you call them your friend. See, it's important who your friend is. You need to be careful who your friends are. Your friends are going to affect you. And there's no doubt some of you, and I'm not talking about just the young people, I'm talking about some of you parents too, and some of us adults, we need to be very careful and draw some lines with our friends and draw some lines on who we yoke up with. There are some that you sitting here tonight, you know well that you've got friends, people that you call friends, and you embrace them as friends, and you yoke up with them as friends, and you know well that they don't help your walk. You know well they draw you away from God. You know they talk about things that put thoughts in your mind that shouldn't be there. You know they draw you away from the Spirit of God. You know that. And this would be a prime time when you've got some separation from those friends. God can use it to help you get some separation from the world. I tell you, parents, just as much as young people, parents need to draw lines with their friends. By the way, parents need to draw lines with their kids' friends too. You don't need to let your kids run with anybody. I tell you, we've come to a day of this passive parenthood where every parent seems to want to be the cool parent. Every parent wants to be the friend of their kids. Every parent wants to use all this psychology that the world uses and be their kid's friend, thinking that it'll reach their kids. Listen, God didn't give you to your kids to be a friend. They gave you to them to be a parent, to lead them in the ways of God, to raise them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God gave them a parent, not a friend. You need to be a parent. Parents tonight, they're so scared to tell their kids no. Say, no, you can't go with them. No, you can't go there. No, you can't go here. It blows my mind. The parents and the families that call themselves Christians and are members of good Baptist churches, come summertime, they'll let their kids run down to the beach with a group of other friends, run with anybody or anything. Next thing you know, there'll be pictures on Facebook of their girls half-naked on the beach with a bunch of boys that are half-naked, and they're down there with friends nobody knows where they came from. I guess they're just school friends or whatever, and it's very obvious that they're not edifying them in the things of God. They're not helping them in their walk of God. In fact, they're leading them astray in the ways of the world. But parents will just throw their hands up and say, sure, you can go. Have a good time, honey. I tell you, God gave them a parent. You need to be very careful about your friends. You need to be careful about your children's friends, because He said, have no fellowship. Hey, let me ask you a question. How much fellowship? Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How much fellowship is no fellowship? Oh, well, Brother Jacob, I want to reach my friends and I want them to get saved and I want to reach them. Well, there's a big difference in being a witness, trying to reach someone and save them, but then yoking up with them and being their friend and embracing them as a companion. See, that's what fellowship speaks of. Have no fellowship. You look up fellowship. Fellowship speaks of companionship. Speaks of close friendship. And I wonder how much of that is no fellowship. I didn't write this book. I didn't write this Bible. Don't get mad at me. God wrote this thing, not me. I'm just reading you the verse. I'm just explaining the verse. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Separate from the world. I tell you, God has given us a particular time, special days, that we can use in a mighty way. And He can use in a mighty way in our life. Special days God has given us. Where there, again, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. Businesses have closed down. A lot of people are off work. And most of the world's looking at this as terrible times. And I mean, if it continues on, it can be terrible economically and in many other ways. But listen, if we're saved, we don't fear the way the world fears. We know God's in control, and we see the hand of God in everything in our life. And Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And I tell you, these things are working together for good for His children. I think one of the big ways that they're working for good is these times. This time that He's given. He's given us more time now. See, for so long the devil's had people so busy. Rush here, rush there, rush to work, rush to, you know, this, that, and the other, and do all this. But buddy, we've got time now. We've got time. And you can waste this time. I think you can waste it. You look back and see just what the world sees whenever they look back on these days and say, boy, that was just a slow down. There was nothing going on. We were bored. You can waste this time sitting around watching stupid YouTube videos and waste this time searching social media and waste time reading the news. Reading the news is just about always a waste of time. You can waste this time just doing things that in eternity won't matter, won't mean anything. You can sleep away this time. Amen. You can sleep away this time. Well, there's a lot to be said about sleep in the Bible. There is. There's a lot to say. Love not sleep. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Love not sleep. Hey, there's a lot to be said. And you know, in these days, you know, kids are out of school and things like that. I tell you, you could just sleep away these days and you could sleep till, you know, 4 in the afternoon or whatever. You could stay up all night long watching stupid YouTube videos and stay up all hours of the night playing video games and watching TV and watching the news and doing all that stuff and then sleep the day away and not get anything accomplished for God. Or you could take advantage of these times and you could rise early and seek God early. And you could pray and you can get in the Word and have God really use this time. You could take advantage of it. Or you could waste it. I tell you, I believe with all my heart that this is a special time that God's given us. I know there's a lot wrong, a lot of things going on. But in these days, we can redeem this time. God can use this time. Our church can grow in this time. And I wonder tonight, as we've listened to this message, heard the message that God's given us, wonder if we might purpose in our hearts that we're going to redeem the times. Make up our minds, purpose in our hearts, call out to God. Say, Lord, by Your grace, I'm not going to waste one more minute. I'm not going to waste any more time. The time I've got is time You've blessed me with, and I'm going to give it to You, and I'm going to seek Your will. And I'm going to serve You. With all that I've got, with what You've given me, I'm going to separate from the world. I'm going to start taking seriously the time that You've given me. Wonder if we purpose in our heart tonight to redeem the time because the days are evil. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for helping us with the Word tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing it is, Lord, to be a child of God. Lord, I thank You for the time that You've given us. Lord, these are, Lord, very different times. And Lord, they're concerning times in a lot of ways, but Lord, I believe with all my heart, Lord, I have faith that You can use these times in a mighty, mighty way in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that You would. I pray that You'd help us to redeem the times. Redeem this time that You've given us, Lord, to accomplish Your work and Your will in our lives. May we look back and say these are precious times in our lives spiritually where You did great and mighty things. Bless us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.